Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow and welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, back from my travels, back in the hot seat. And of course, my advisor-in-chief, the head of my organisational prowess, Mr. Augie, sitting in his chair there looking kind of cute tonight. Worrying. Now, where would we start? Let's have a think. Lots going on, lots happening, but there's only one train on the tracks, yeah. And that's where the coalition of the willing to get stoned out of heads left the station in Europe and headed for Kiev. Yeah, now, of course, look, who knows? Is it a tissue? Is it a tissue of lies? We're not that sure. Let's have a look, Augie, at the video. Let's review the evidence, mein Führer. Jawohl. Yeah, oh, the swipe. I don't know. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Now Mertz with the spoon.
There's the spoon.
There's the spoon. What is that thing? Like cocktail stick, ice stirrer? It's hard, you know. I don't know. It looks like a tissue. Is it a tissue? Is it a bag? I'm not sure. Augie, what do you reckon?
How often do you hide your tissues looking like you've done something really, really bad?
Now, that's the question, right? Whatever it is, whatever it isn't, why would you hide a tissue? You know, you're the president of the Republic of France. You are a great leader. Why would you be embarrassed about a tissue? And why would you kind of skive it away like that? Why would Mr. Mertz, the Dutch Chancellor, why would he also have a problem? Like, why hide it if you got nothing to hide at all? And of course, we're not saying it was illicit drugs. We have no position on that. Now, it just so happens that Augie has done what he does best and dug up a little compilation. Now, it seems to show that Macrolion has a terrible case of South American hay fever. South American hay fever caused not by pollen, but by a strange marching powder substance made in the jungles of Colombia, Ecuador, and elsewhere. Run the video, Augie. Yeah, seems to be, like, when you see someone doing it, you kind of, yourself, he's definitely got a bit, he has a bad case of hay fever, Augie, right?
I actually saw this before on another president, the Ukrainian president.
Okay, say no more. And they just visited the Narco-Fuhrer, right? So on the way back from the Narco-Fuhrer, suddenly they're hiding tissues and little spoons. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Well, that's according to the Elysee Palace. It's all Russian disinformation. Hey, Hunter, how you getting on? Now, would it be that bizarre if a senior French official, earning a few quid, earning a lot of money, was using drugs, Augie? I mean, we've been in France recently, and you're going to have a little look at that sooner than later. And we're wondering, would it be a bizarre thing for a senior French official to be using drugs? Any French person, are
you? Well, you see, Che, cocaine use has actually doubled in France. Actually, 1.1 million of Frenchmen used cocaine back in 2023.
Uh-huh. Yeah, might be something in the water. Not in the Seine. Dodgy. But, hey, talking about water, talking about drug use. Drug use can bring on a kind of psychosis, right? Estonia, okay? You know this little country, a little statelet? It's called Estonia. Yeah, because you know what they've decided to do? They really are so desperate to start World War III on behalf of their bosses in Brussels that they decided to basically attack a giant Russian tanker which was about to deliver some oil. Of course, the Russian tanker just kind of swatted them away, but they kept coming. I think about 50% of the Estonian Navy were involved. Two ships, yeah. And they tried to tackle this giant Leviathan cruising through the waters. And the Russian boys were saying, hey, what's going on here? A little helicopter buzzed around a bit as well. And it all went pitong, all went wrong, when a certain Russian fighter jet, I think Su-35, correct, decided to join the party. And then suddenly, the Estonians decided, maybe this isn't such a smart idea. They all f***ed off. Run the video, Augie. So here you go. This is their helicopter. I think they've got one helicopter, and they're two of their six ships. Like, what was the point? What were they going to do with this giant tanker, Augie?
This was happening all in the neutral waters. So what they were trying to do is to push the tanker into the Estonian water zone, where they could arrest it. You know, drain the oil from the tanks.
Steal it.
Huh? Didn't work out as planned.
Yeah, and of course, Europeans would never steal Russian assets or money, right? never steal hundreds of billions of dollars and kidnap. No, it wouldn't be what the EU does.
Papa, this is Estonian warship, Papa 6732. Your
request will be denied. Request.
Aha, Estonian battleship. Go yourself. How about that one?
That's what they're trying to do. Change your course, get in our water where we can legally stop you.
Jesus Christ. And they actually believed that they were going to pull that on the Russians. Bad idea. And of course, you might think this is a bit of a giggle. You know, you're watching this in the States, in the UK. You know, silly little Estonia, you know, a lot of historical anger, a lot of grief, a lot of problems. Maybe it's just all bullshit, but maybe it's not, because guess what happens? If Estonia manages to kick off World War III out in the Baltic Sea, guess who's going to have to fight it? Because Estonia has like a couple of 100,000 people. It has four ships, not even ships, they're like little tugboats or little speedboats, and I think an airplane and a helicopter, right? So who's going to fight the war with the biggest land army in the world, Russia, the biggest nuclear arsenal in the world, and the best delivery system, Oreshnik? Who's going to do the fighting? It ain't going to be the Estonians, the Latvians, the Lithuanians. It's going to be you dudes in America. When they start, you're going to have to kick the door down the party and come in and rescue the Chihuahuas, and it ain't going to be pretty. Let's have a listen to how NATO chief Mark Rutte, the failed Dutch politician, who's exceptionally unpopular in Holland, believe me, I've got some Dutch friends, and let's have a listen to him sort of reversing the reality here. This is the NATO reality, the paper tiger's reality when it comes to, let's start World War III with Russia, but who's going to fight it? Not so sure. Run the video, Augie.
Russia, in some calculations, is producing in 3 months in terms of ammunition what the whole of NATO is producing in a year, and Russia is only 5% the size of the overall NATO economy. So that's not sustainable.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you all got to work together.
Means you all have to die there.
You all got to die there. But it also means that Russia is outproducing the entirety of NATO by a factor of at least 4-1 in most things. Shells, Russia produces more artillery shells in a month than the entirety of NATO. Think about this, from Washington to Ankara, the entirety of NATO, Russia outproduces them by a quantity of 4-3-1 on various things, tanks, missiles, artillery shells, the stuff that you actually fight wars with. You don't fight wars with jet skis, a little Nazi tattoo out in the Baltic Sea. Mm-hmm, doesn't work.
Maybe they can fight wars with transgender surgeries?
Transgender surgery is probably the only way forward. So what you do is you transgenderize all of your soldiers, you send them undercover into St. Petersburg for a night out, and who knows what happens then. You got to be very careful what you can find if you root around in the, you know where. So sticking with the defense of Europe, but you know, what are we actually defending Europe from? The Russians don't want to invade Europe. They don't give a Russia is a continental landmass, 12 time zones, like 160 million people. They don't need any more territory. They certainly don't need a little island in the middle of the Atlantic called Britain, Great Britain, full of actually retarded super soldiers. Augie, the British army is in a little bit of trouble, right?
Yes, Chief. It actually is in a lot of trouble.
Uh-huh.
Because it keeps shrinking.
Ah.
Back in 2010, 15 years ago, the Great British Army was just 100,000 people strong. These days, in the middle of the World War III crisis, it's just 73,000 strong. And it seems like nobody wants to join it anymore.
So the logic is when, you know, Russia is coming to invade you and eat your grandmother and pick all your babies, we must turn off the heat for the pensioners. Well, Starmer Fuhrer is saying that the thing to do is to reduce the army, slash the amount of tanks and warships you have, and give the ones you do have, the Challenger tanks, you had about 200, you gave a big chunk of them to Ukraine, and the Russians demonstrated that they make great barbecues, right, Keir? So let's have a look at the British Army. Let's have a look at, you know, these men used to patrol the world, rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Some people in my old family actually served in the British Army back in the day when there really was a British Army. We hadn't got off our knees yet in Ireland. Let's have a look at what's going to defend you when Sir Keir, the Starmer Fuhrer, actually manages to start a war with Russia with the help of his Estonian Chihuahua friends. Run the video, Augie.
Behold, the Anglo super soldier.
What the f***? He's angry with his mum. His mother turned off the internet. Me, bro, you need to have a massage and a lie down. What was that?
Well, at least we know for sure that they're trained to stab the lying motionless figures, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, when the Russians do invade, they're just going to lie in a black sack on the beach and invite you over to stab them with your big mum turned off my internet face. It's going to be fine. It's all going to go so well. Now, something that's interesting and interesting to us here at the Moscow Mules, Augie and I, when we're looking at this dynamic, suddenly the Germans and the British are best pals. Now, remember, they're both the same people, really, the Germans and the British. Don't get it wrong. This is basically Ein Reich, Ein Volk, and now it's Ein Führer. Mr. Merz, after a very strange event in the Bundestag, he managed to get elected 2 hours after he didn't get elected. How do you work that out? How does that work, Augie? I wonder if that happened in Russia up the road here at the Duma. It would be on the front page of every newspaper for a month, but it just seems to be, you know, par for the course. Yeah, it's all sorted out. Now, Mr. Merz and Mr. Starmerfuhrer have become the best of pals, best of buddies. And the only thing they seem to be able to talk about, Augie, is more sanctions. We are saying that we must stop the Russians. You will stop by 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, or we will do something about it. What are we going to do? We will do the next thing, which is number 8562. Well, what was 8561? This is not important. The 17 sanctions will be on the video only.
This time for sure, guys.
Eine europäische Initiative gestartet jetzt am Wochenende, Herr Merz. Sie haben ein Ultimatum gestellt an Putin.
Ultimatum
zu Putin.
Und
jawohl. Sie heute auf das Ergebnis
schauen,
dann sind
die Sanktionen
nicht da. Dann werden sich Herr Zelensky und
What is the point of your sanctions, you clowns? You're destroying your own economy.
Ich hab nicht erwartet, dass wir mit dieser Initiative sofort Erfolg haben und der Frieden in der Ukraine einkehrt.
I have a head like an inverted egg timer.
Das eine
What
war,
the fuck would you do if you had a head like that? So, Augie, how come we're on the 17th or 18th package of sanctions now? When Russia's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, eating babies and pickling children, all this bullshit, right? If that happened back in 2022, in February 2022, right? Why didn't they sanction Russia with all this shit on the day one? What were they waiting for it to happen? So are they admitting every time they get another package of sanctions that every other sanction didn't work? Is this not an embarrassing thing? Is this not like saying, I'm going to have to text my girlfriend 18 times to be sure she thinks I'm a f***ing idiot. So, moving back towards Kiev on the cocaine train, or sorry, the train, we're going to have a look at the narco-Führer. Now, remember, the narco-Führer has been absolutely certain that he would never meet Vladimir Putin. He actually signed a legal document, a law, he enacted it in Kiev, suggesting that he can't do it. He can't meet this horrible man, this horrible Vladimir Putin. Now, let's have a look at how things have changed somewhat. Maybe the cocaine is running out. Maybe he's given a bit of it away to his friends on the cocaine train. But either way, he's making a complete tit of himself by contradicting himself. No one made him do this. Run the video, Augie.
President of Russia. Немає про що говорити на переговорах
і річ не
може. Ви готові його розмовляти з Путіним?
Ні.
Що?
Нема про що. Ну, про що з ним говорити?
It's not interesting for me. Not interesting to me. Not interesting to speak.
I don't have any relations with Russians. We don't want to make any dialogue with terrorists.
На що повинна піти Росія? Бажано на три букви.
Хочу закінчити війну. Ми хочемо сталого миру для України.
It must end at the negotiation table. Я буду в цей четвер,
15
травня, в Туреччині.
І очікую на Путіна в Туреччині
особисто. Ми готові говорити, щоб закінчити війну.
Can I come out of the bunker? Is Putin going to kill me? Yeah. So it's not surprising that Zelensky doesn't really want to meet Putin, but then he does want to meet Putin because he really wants to do anything he can to kind of prolong the war. There's no actual intention to end the war because he's got absolutely nothing to gain by the war ending. Think about it. He's an illegitimate president. He was elected in 2019. He cancelled those elections. So he's way overdue. He's past the sell-by date. And Everything else that's happening in Ukraine, Augie, right? Who's paying the bills? Who's funding it? There's a demographic collapse there. The population, a lot more people are dying than are being born. That's never a good thing in a country. So the whole thing is going. And now that the Americans have their foot on the throat of the Ukrainian economy with the aid it's flushing in, things like pensions have come into the focus, let's say. You're going to see why I'm saying focus. You maybe put a towel over that. Are you correct?
It's kind of difficult to see how much money is being spent exactly on the pensions, but the approximate numbers say it's at least $13 billion from the United States. Oof. And EU has given out around $73 billion for financial budgetary support, and they spend it in a very interesting way, don't they?
Yeah, we're gonna have a look at the video now. You're gonna see how your money, your hard-earned taxes, are paid, are used in Ukraine for very, very critical infrastructural and entertainment purposes. This is bad. Run the video, Augie. So this is Ukrainian Pensions HQ, a government building in Kiev. And just take a closer look at the windows and see what they're spending the lunch money on. Check that. Yeah. Now, look. So, basically, they're spending your money on strippers. Yeah. Bit of bored on a Wednesday afternoon in the office. Dip into the old petty cash. Ask the boss to come along. Crack open a few beers and get a stripper in. Yeah. Because that's what matters. That's what freedom and liberty is all about in the center of EU values called Ukraine. Yeah. Now, what's also apparent is that all the mechanisms by which Ukrainian society has been pulled to pieces, they all, coalesce in making sure the narrative of the Kiev dictatorship is validated in some way, even though it's completely insane. And most people in Ukraine now know that this is a complete show, that they're living in an open-air prison. Now, one of the fundamental elements of Ukrainian society, just like Russian society and across the Orthodox Christian world, was the church. It was a very important, very cherished element of society. It kept people together. It was a support network. Now, Mr. Zelensky and Mr. Poroshenko, who probably started it, have torn that institution apart. And they've replaced it with a client church. Right, Augie? And that client church has some very interesting things to say about the morality of betraying your own family, sending them off to the front to die for Ursula von der Leyen, or basically participating in a neo-Nazi-aligned idiot show. Right, let's have a listen to what Mr. Zelensky's new church, his favourite church, the one he destroyed, of course, the ancient church now is silenced, people locked up, bishops and senior priests locked in jail. Let's have a listen to what the new church, the good church, has to say about Mr. Zelensky's work. Run the video, Augie.
Підкажіть, чи можна здати врядного тестя в ТЦК?
Yeah.
Питання були всякі, ще такого не було.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Він вже дуже крепко вредний.
Great.
І немає протипоказань по здоров'ю.
Of course.
Крепкий, здоровий, а робить збитки вдома, п'янствує,
it's just remarkable.
Мучить тещу,
remarkable.
Мучить дітей, то гріха його здати в ТЦК не буде. Ну, я так вважаю.
Insane.
Якщо немає там дрібненьких дітей, нема під опікою, не інвалід.
Yeah, yeah, don't complain when you get dragged off the street and sent a one-way ticket to Bandera. Don't complain. It's great. It's all good. But hey, don't worry. Don't worry about the filling up of the cemeteries. Don't worry about the fact that the Ukrainian elites are all stoned out of their heads on your money. Strippers in the pension HQ. It's all going to be just fine. Because you know what? We're going to fucking Mars. And guess who's not taking us there? Elon. Elon's not taking us to Mars. Guess who is? Some Ukro-Nazi has decided that we're going to colonize Mars. And only the Ukro-divine are going to be there. We're going to have a big table. We're going to sit down with Stepan and Roman Shakevich. We're going to pickle a few children from Voyin or Babi Yar. Yeah, it's all looking so rosy in the future. Off to Mars. Prepare for liftoff on the video, Augie.
Україна як держава, як нація, і ми як індивіди маємо пишатися тим, що ми виконаємо
самовеличну
на даному. Are these people serious? Are they actually serious? Is it actually real? I really wonder.
Колонізація інших планет. Може, ми коли на Марсі висадимося, і ми так
поїдемо
з Марса на Землю, наші всі ці проблеми, розборки, наскільки вони дрібні, меркантильні, порівняно з тими задачами людства. І ми туди вже прямуємо. Я зараз не можу казати, але зараз я частково причетний до, скажімо, тих
these
людей.
These people are insane. They should be in an asylum. They should be in an asylum.
В сфері, яка
they're working for Zelensky's regime. They're already in an asylum. What am I saying?
I mean, this guy is the head of some neo-Nazi group. He's already insane.
Yeah, another rocket I'd give him. An RPG-7. Well, in other news, of course, as we tape the show this evening, their talks are going on in Turkey. I think they just ended. I think there's been a little bit of movement, prisoner exchange, an agreement about an agreement to potentially talk about what an actual ceasefire might look like, and another meeting. So it's not all bad, Augie, right? Not all bad. Something came out of it. But you know what? This was never going to be the big headliner, right, Augie? It was never going to happen. And as the big Don knows, and Vova up the road here, Mr. Putin, this is never going to get solved unless the big boys sit down at the table. Now, Russia sent a far better qualified team than the Ukrainian one, may I add.
And better dressed too.
Correct. And Maria Zakharova made that very clear. These are very well qualified diplomats, politicians, and, you know, people at the top of their game academically. Meanwhile, the Ukrainians sent a bunch of failed film directors and producers asked from Zelensky's old TV company, Kvartal 95. Yeah, fact, they run his office. So let's get that out of the way, the reality that the Russians don't mess about when they send someone to negotiate. But let's also remember, there's only one game in town. That's when the big Don and Mr. Putin sit down and do business. Right, Augie?
Correct.
Run the video.
Jennifer, go ahead.
No, I didn't anticipate. I actually said, why would he go if I'm not going? Because I wasn't going to go. I wasn't planning to. I would go.
You know, he's so refreshing, isn't he, Trump, when he just calls it out like it is. You know, he can be great, you know?
Oh, but Putin didn't go to meet with Zelensky.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
wow. And Zelensky was wandering around the covered bazaar. And you seen the Putin, Titan Putin, get there. I need the Putin, the monies, give me the monies.
He was wandering around the covered bazaar in Istanbul, asking, had anyone seen Putin? Like, why the f*** would an actual statesman, president, elected by his people, head of a superpower, come to meet you, you greasy little green goblin cretin? You belong up a drain pipe, you rat. Get the fuck out of here. Let's not forget who Volodymyr Zelensky is. He's an actor who has been playing the role of his life. He's always been at the center of attention from way back when he made tons of money working in Russia, speaking Russian. Yeah, for sure. That's where he made his money. That's where he became famous. That's right. And, you know, it's very hard to drag a guy like that out of the spotlight. And he's acting right now, I think, like a little baby that's a bit pissed off because, you know, nobody's listening to him. Nobody's listening to him because he has no power. He's a puppet and everybody knows it. Let's have a look at an AI depiction of Mr. Zelensky. I think it's a beauty, right, Augie? Run the video.
So let us talk about alliances. You have been crawling to every crib asking for more toys, even baby NATO. Like, come on, just share your blocks and move on.
Donnie, I'm trying to protect my side of the nursery. Baby Vlad keeps sneaking his bears in during nap time. I need reinforcements, not criticism.
Maybe if your fence was not made of glitter sticks and stickers, it would, you know, actually work. I built a wall once. Huge. Nobody got through. Not even the baby with two passports.
Yes. And then you cried when your milk cart could not get inside.
That was intentional. It was a supply chain protest. Very sophisticated.
Okay, sure. And I guess crying on the floor is now called negotiating.
It is, in my case, anyway, right? Let us switch gears. You keep asking for more building blocks, more bottles, more diaper relief.
Well, sadly, that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. The train pulls into the station. Augie and I in this carriage, drug-free. And behind us, Mr. Mertz, Mr. Macrolion, and Mr. Starmerfuhrer, coked out of their brains. Well, we don't know that, but we think they are. But regardless of whether they're actually taking cocaine, they seem like they are. They keep talking to each other. They don't talk to the Russians. They don't end any of the conflicts. They want to ignore their people at home. They're stealing money from them, pensioners, people in the services, to buy guns guns, weapons to flood into another dictatorship where nobody's using drugs, right? Yeah, for sure. Anyway, it seems that they're determined to take the cocaine train into Armageddon, and we're going to be here, as usual, narrating their trip and keeping a seat warm for you right beside us. From Augie and I, until next time, we'll see you then.
Sure.
Sure, what a show.